Welcome into Searching for San Antonio, part of the San Antonio Podcast Network. This series explores the Alamo City by showcasing small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and some of the wonderful people that make San Antonio what it is. Join in as we search for the true meaning of being a San Antonian. Before we get started on this episode, I want to remind listeners to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Additionally, be sure to follow and like the podcast on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and of course, my favorite, Twitter, at SA Pod Network. That's at SA as in San Antonio, pod as in podcast, network. Thanks again for joining me on another episode of Searching for San Antonio. This week, we have a great guest joining us on the show, Derek Bays. He is the general manager over at the San Antonio River Authority. Now, Derek will be joining us in the second segment to talk about the organization that he recently took a leadership role with and how important their role as a whole is here in San Antonio. The San Antonio River Authority was created in 1937 and is one of many active river authorities in Texas. Though San Antonio is in the name, its jurisdiction covers over 3,000 square miles and includes all of Bexar, Wilson, Karnes, and Goliad counties. Improving the health of creeks and rivers is the River Authority's purpose. The River Authority's scientific leadership and targeted efforts have resulted in reducing pollution and trash in our waterways and improving water quality throughout the basin. The River Authority's work to mitigate future threats to our waterways is more critical than ever as communities within the basin are growing rapidly. For the San Antonio River Authority, also known as SARA, public safety through flood risk management is a top priority. For more than 80 years, cities and counties have relied on the River Authority's engineering and technical expertise in flood management and risk reduction. Additionally, the San Antonio River Authority has a goal to enhance appreciation and stewardship through recreation. Over the past decade, the River Authority has added nature-based recreational activities throughout the basin, including hike and bike trails, paddling trails, picnic and camping areas, playgrounds, fishing, bird watching, and even disc golf courses. With more access, people can develop a greater appreciation for the natural resources and quality of life benefits provided by the San Antonio River and its tributaries. I'm really excited to get to my interview with Derek, but before I do, I want to remind the listeners that this episode is brought to you by Live from the Southside. Live from the Southside is a Latina-owned online and print publication that helps residents and visitors find things to do on the south side of San Antonio and throughout Texas. Their goal is to improve and expand community relationships through promoting positive stories, interesting people, and businesses in the community. You can visit their website at southsidesanantonio.com, which is also where you can order the Live from the Southside magazine. You can also order your copy of the magazine on Amazon or simply subscribe to the newsletter to receive your online edition. Lastly, you can follow them at SouthsideSATX on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Huge thank you to April Monterosa and Live from the Southside for supporting this podcast. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break and I'll be right back with my interview with Derek from the San Antonio River Authority. Stay tuned.
This is what we're made of. The businesses that line our streets and the customers that make them flourish. As a business owner, this is your community, your members, your regulars, your neighbors. Your business is unique. So are your customers. No matter who you need to reach, Spectrum Reach is here to help you connect with the right message on every screen. Visit SpectrumReach.com to connect with a local advertising expert. That's SpectrumReach.com.
Welcome back into Searching for San Antonio. Like I mentioned earlier, I have Derek Bays, General Manager at the San Antonio River Authority, joining me on this episode of the podcast. Before taking on this role, Derek was the Chief Administrative Officer for the Flood Protection Authority East, or FPA, and was responsible for the physical, operational, and financial integrity of the Regional Flood Risk Management System protecting the East Bank of the Greater New Orleans area. Prior to joining the FPA, Derek was an executive for two national engineering firms and led their regional operations from 2006 to 2015. During this time, he also served as the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Chief of Staff for the Hurricane Protection Office. Derek Bays was an active duty Army officer for 11 years and served combat tours in Iraq and Kuwait. Derek has a BA in Civil Engineering from Rice University, a MS in Engineering Management from Missouri University of Science and Technology, and a JD from Loyola University School of Law, New Orleans. So without further ado, here is my interview with Derek Bays. So Derek, thank you for joining me on Searching for San Antonio. I'm really glad you're here to talk about kind of your role at the San Antonio River Authority, the initiatives you got going on, and really just kind of letting the listeners know what the San Antonio River Authority is all about. So to kind of kick us off, Derek, I do want to ask, give us a little backstory. How did you get to this role?
Sure, Zach. Well, first, thank you for having me on and giving me an opportunity to talk to you and your listeners about the River Authority. So I've been in this role now for a little over 3 months, started at the beginning of May of 2021. And my background, for your listeners that may not be aware, I'm coming from New Orleans. For the last 4 years, I was in charge of the hurricane levee and flood wall flood defense system, along with the levee that protected the city from the Mississippi River. And I lived in New Orleans since 2006. And most of my work there was related to flood protection as an engineering consultant working with the Corps of Engineers, or I also did some ecosystem restoration, coastal restoration work during those 15 years there. Prior to that, I was an active duty Army officer with the Corps of Engineers and was actually stationed at Fort Hood from 2000 to 2003, deployed to Iraq during that time. This is actually my third time living in Texas, Fort Hood, like I said, and then I went to Rice in Houston for my civil engineering undergrad. Background other than that, I've bounced around quite a bit because of the military engineering degree from Rice. I've got a master's in engineering management from University of Missouri, Rolla. I'm also an attorney. I got my JD from Loyola in New Orleans, thanks to the GI Bill. So I'm pretty versatile in a lot of different ways.
Seems like it.
And so, you know, I think a number of circumstances led to this opportunity here. My son just graduated from New Orleans, high school in New Orleans this spring. And, you know, it was sort of time to start looking elsewhere. We weren't from New Orleans and moved there after Katrina in 2006 after leaving the military. And so when my son was ready to go somewhere else, which he's going to Texas A&M Galveston, kicking off his freshman year, which is great, you know, I just started looking around and I came across this opportunity here for the general manager position. And I thought it was a really good fit. I'd been interested in getting back to Texas. While the mission here is broader than my one in New Orleans, it was all about flood control, you know, save people's lives and property from flooding. Here, obviously, we're involved in flood protection, but the role or the mission of water quality, the health of the river, and then the recreational components that we do as well makes for a much broader type of mission here.
Well, I do want to go back and say thank you for your service, Derek. You mentioned you were in the military. Talk a little bit about your role as GM with the San Antonio River Authority. What does that mean in terms of whether it be decision-making, delegating? What are you doing there with the River Authority?
Sure. So I work for a board of directors, an elected board, which is somewhat unusual from what I'm learning across the state. There are a number of river authorities throughout the state, but most of them have appointed boards by the governor, I believe. And here we have elected board members. We have six from Bexar County and then six from our three downstream counties of Goliad, Karnes, and Wilson. So we have, you know, I guess for a typical public agency, monthly board meetings and committee meetings, but I am responsible for everything the River Authority does or fails to do, as I like to put it. Our main office is here in, you know, just south of downtown San Antonio, right on the river on Gunther, fantastic location. So day-to-day basis, I've got a great team of executives here that I work with. Highly technical professionals. And then I have another great group of dedicated folks that maintain the river and our wastewater treatment plants out there, you know, that are working hard every day, making sure things stay clean, that things function properly.
Now, are you able to give the listeners kind of an idea of why the San Antonio River Authority is here as in terms of the history? The San Antonio River Authority, according to my own research, has dated back to the early 20th century. From what I saw, I believe there was floods in, I think, in the year 1913, 1914. And it was a few years later that the state pretty much said, hey, we're going to, you know, you can create these authorities, these groups to kind of make it safer, make sure that I guess floods like that don't happen again. Give the listeners a little bit of the history of the San Antonio River Authority.
Sure. Well, being relatively new to the city, I'm still learning a whole lot. The fire hose has been on full blast for 3 months.
I could imagine.
The River Authority was created in 1937. As you said, there's a number of river authorities throughout the state. San Antonio itself, in my own research, has experienced, you know, some terrible floods over the years. In fact, this year is the 100th anniversary in September of one of the worst floods to hit San Antonio, where I believe at least a couple hundred people were killed. There's been a history of flooding on the San Antonio River and the threat that it's posed to the population here. I think it boils down to the way we characterize our mission and our goals is safe, clean, and enjoyable. The safe is that flood protection component that you referred to. You know, we operate and maintain both a number of dams here in Bexar County and down in Karnes, a number of facilities along the river. We handle floodplain mapping for our whole region. And we've actually got some technology that we just rolled out a few months ago, predictive flood modeling, where we work with the city and the county here to look at how much rain is coming and what's it going to do to the rivers and streams and tributaries in the region, and work with emergency management officials to help, you know, if they need to close roads, if they need to divert emergency management services, police, fire, EMS, to get from one place to another to help take care of people, put out warnings. So we handle flooding in a whole lot of different ways, and we absolutely coordinate with a lot of partners to make that happen. The city and county I mentioned, and that includes all three of our downstream county partners too. It's not just Bexar County. We go all the way down to Goliad.
Sticking with that safe factor, we're gonna kind of go into the safe, the clean, the enjoyable. But sticking with that safe factor, you know, you mentioned 100 years ago, San Antonio experienced one of the worst floods in its history. Obviously, that's something that led to the creation of the River Authority. But now, you know, when we think of the Riverwalk and even the north and south part of the Riverwalk, we don't think of that place really flooding. I mean, and I know there's dams built and things of that sort. Can those areas, and I'm talking about even downtown centrally located, can those areas still flood?
You can never eliminate risk. I think that's a lesson that a lot of people and agencies have learned over the years, not just here. I mean, that's, you know, nationwide, internationally. There's been a trend to get away from the term of sort of flood protection to risk reduction, because you can, like I said, you can never eliminate completely. So theoretically, sure, a lot of parts of San Antonio could flood from the river. There is a number of mechanisms, facilities in place to help mitigate that risk. There's a huge tunnel that runs under downtown San Antonio that's designed to protect against that 100-year flood. I believe it was completed in 1999. Less than a year after the completion of that tunnel, there was another, you know, huge flood event. And I believe it was the first time in history that a project, because it was done in conjunction with the Corps of Engineers, county and city, it's the first time that a project had paid for itself for the Corps so quickly, less than a year after completion, because of the flood damage, you know, millions of dollars that it prevented in damage and destruction. So there are systems in place to help, you know, protect and defend against that risk of flooding. I think there's always more that we can do. Weather patterns change, construction patterns change, where people live, what's getting built. You know, the city is growing with a lot of people moving here, expanding. So what that means, more infrastructure constructed, you know, more developments, more streets paved, that sort of thing, which changes how rainwater falls on the ground, becomes stormwater, and makes its way into a drainage system. There is always an evolving perspective and need to take those things into account. Stormwater mitigation is a planning effort that we lead in conjunction with a whole lot of partners. One sort of popular way, I think it's popular, is when you can get a multi-purpose type of project where you take a park that, you know, during normal circumstances like this very hot, sunny day that we have today, that it serves as a park for the community, but during a major rain event, it can also serve as a stormwater detention and retention basin. So it can hold the water from getting into neighborhoods and then slowly let it percolate into the ground so you don't get that big flood going down a street.
Kind of adding in to the conversation about keeping it safe, I realized on the strategic plan, it talks about you want to come up with plans that target water quality and threaten ecosystems. Speak a little bit about keeping a better water quality and why that's important.
You know, I think everybody wants a healthy river. You know, if you go along the Riverwalk in downtown or the Mission Reach, Museum Reach, you know, there are literally hundreds of thousands of people that enjoy those areas on a daily basis. Recreation, walking, biking, kayaking, fishing in certain areas. It's a really, really important part of, I think, the history and the heritage of San Antonio. You know, if you look at, you know, historic areas like the Alamo and the Missions, you know, that's a national park, it's a World Heritage Site, because San Antonio was founded along the river. It's been a critical part of this community for, you know, hundreds of years, if not longer, because people recognized they needed that water to live. Now, in talking to my coworkers here, I understand, you know, the river many years ago was not as clean as it is now. And a number of steps have been taken to make sure that it is cleaner. A lot of people don't know, as you get into the Mission Reach, if we have not had rain for 3 days, technically it's swimmable, which might surprise a lot of people, but that is, you know, to the effort, that speaks to the effort and the partnership that we've had with TCEQ, with other state and local partners to make sure that the river is healthy, because it's such an important part of our community. The visible method, the thing that probably people can relate to the most is trash. We have a trash campaign kicking off next month in conjunction with our river symposium that we're going to do. But trash is something people can see. You know, when somebody is driving down the road somewhere between 410 and 1604 and they, you know, throw a coffee cup into the bed of their pickup truck, and then as that truck's driving, it flies out the bed and makes its way down the curb and eventually to a creek. That finds its way here. We've literally taken out tons of trash of the river this year, just in the Mission Reach area, based on all that really heavy rain we've had. So we are encouraging the public to really be aware of what they do. We've got an outreach program, an education program. We're working with our elected officials here. We've got a lot going on, because all of that is a very visible thing, that if we can cut down on the amount of trash that makes its way into the river, it just makes for a much more enjoyable experience. But it also helps, there's the invisible things that people don't see, like E. coli. You know, where does a lot of that come from? A lot of, you know, mostly animal waste, you know, so people, please pick up after your dogs. You know, don't just leave it laying on the ground, because all of that leads
will find its way.
It finds its way to the river as well. So we have, you know, we've got a water quality lab. We have scientists that test the water. They collect samples. There's a whole slew of things that go on to making sure, you know, to monitoring the health of the river and looking for ways to improve the quality. That includes invasive species as well.
Like the apple snails.
Apple snails, yes. There's been a number of recent articles.
They sound friendly, so.
they're pretty gross looking if you happen to see one along the wall, you know, here in the Mission Reach or along the Riverwalk. They are here. We have removal efforts, but, you know, it's very hard to get rid of an invasive species once it's here.
And so what kind of threat do those invasive species pose to the river?
So, yeah, I think with, generally speaking, any invasive species, the threat is that there's no natural predator, and it can crowd out the natural species, whether, you know, that's a plant, whether that's a fish, tilapia, you know, those are invasive species here. Egyptian geese are another invasive species here. So, you know, it can crowd out natural species. It can cause damage to the environment. Apple snails are poisonous. You know, there's all kinds of effects of having those here. So we try to educate people. We remove the invasives when we find them, but we want a natural environment as much as we can. And so it's a constant battle to keep the invasives out.
Well, you know, and going back to keeping the river clean, I think that's something that unfortunately people don't realize when they're throwing out trash. Now, obviously, you shouldn't litter in any situation, no matter where you're at. But, you know, I think when I try to get in the mind of someone who does, you know, and they throw something out the window and it goes on the street, I'm sure in their mind, they may be thinking something along the lines of, you know, this piece of trash, this cup, whatever it may be, is just going to sit there on the road. You know, eventually it's going to get picked up. But that's the thing. And it's not. And some do, you know, when they have highway pickups. But, you know, especially this year when we're getting a lot of rain, or at least that's the way it seems. All that's being washed into a creek, into a river. And eventually, I mean, those creeks lead to the river. So, you know, I think it's unfortunate, but you're right. It's very visible. And I think that's something that I think above all else that people need to realize when they're throwing out trash is to dispose of it properly and not just throw it out, no matter where you're at. But that also includes, and you kind of alluded to this, is the pet waste. I think some folks think it may just dissolve, you know, but not necessarily. You know, it may get washed into the river.
Well, the animal waste, well, it does dissolve, but the things that are in it dissolves into are not things that you would, you know, want to go swimming in or pull out fish from. So, yeah, it is an education effort. We've got, you know, a number of highly visible officials and people here in the region that have agreed to support our campaign. We're targeting kids. You know, those that have kids know that they're very influential on you. You may not care what a billboard says. If your child comes home and tells you, you know, have you thought about this, mom or dad? You know, why are you throwing that away? I think it's a better way to get that message across. I know some stories from New Orleans where we were dealing with hurricanes. There were always challenges with getting people to evacuate. Those people, they may have lived there a long time. They've weathered a number of storms. Why would I leave? But if, you know, their grandchild comes home and says, hey, you know, grandma, grandpa, why aren't we leaving? There's a much better chance that they're going to listen to their grandchild versus a public, you know, public announcement or public service announcement. You have to hit it from multiple angles. But I'm really hoping that our education and outreach programs can drive that message home with kids and their families.
Derek, we've talked a little bit about keeping it safe, keeping it clean. And the last part of the mission there is making it enjoyable and promoting programs and kind of activating different events and just kind of getting people out there to enjoy what the river offers. I mean, you know, obviously you want to have a healthy environment, but, you know, we're also keeping it clean and, you know, so we can enjoy it. So, you know, talk a little bit about maybe some programs or some events or different ways that you're kind of delivering on that enjoyable factor.
Sure. I think they range. There's a very wide spectrum of things that we do to promote the recreational aspect of our mission, starting with sort of the highly visible types of things. We have our own parks. We do park master planning. We work with very closely with the city and the county on their parks and trails programs, you know, working with them on either advising, planning, constructing on behalf of there's parts of the Howard Greenway Trail system, you name it. There's a number of different major things that people are always out on. And the Mission Reach, which I'm staring at out my window right now, I think is a really good example of that. I mean, there are always people out walking and jogging and biking, kayaking. We put on kayaking events that are, I think, you know, sort of introductory, fun, get people exposed to that experience. We held one during Fiesta this year. We ran out of tickets because people had to reserve online in about an hour, like 200 slots gone like that. I hope that people became even more aware and appreciative of the amenities that are out here during COVID. Obviously, COVID has been a struggle in so many ways that we don't need to go into on this podcast, but the chance to get outside when people were working from home or stuck at home or whatever it might be, you know, to walk and exercise is really important from a physical health and a mental health perspective. You know, the areas along the river and the creeks and trail system offer those types of benefits. And we saw in some cases doubling from the year before, the number of people and cars that were cars in the parking lots, people out on the trails from the year prior.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was actually going to ask about if you saw an increase or an uptick in activity and people going down and enjoying the river. Because I know personally, myself and my girlfriend, we live not too far from downtown. It takes us about 12 minutes to get down there. But, you know, in the past, we would go maybe once every other week or so, if that, to go. We'd park at right there by Blue Star. We'd go down to the river and just kind of walk our way, you know, downtown from there. But during the pandemic, especially in the period of time where we were mostly just at home and nothing else to do, places closed, that's what we were doing. You know, we would just take the little short drive, park there, and we'd go for a walk, or I'd take the dog for a walk, or I'd go for a run. I found myself doing that more often along the river. Like I said, I'd done it before. There was a point in time where I used to live downtown. I worked downtown at the Frost Tower. So, you know, I was down there a lot. But when I moved a little bit further out, I didn't go as often. But definitely during the pandemic, I went a lot more. And so you kind of answered that question. I think people started to appreciate it more and found their way down there.
Yeah, no, I mean, like literally a doubling. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I think it was like 500,000 a year to 1 million visitors out there. So I hope that people, you know, appreciate the work that we do and the city and the county crews do to take care of those facilities and really just get out there and enjoy it. There's just so much going on the, you know, more activity scale. The kayaking events that we do, fishing events. We in some cases, we offer yoga down on like San Pedro Creek and other places. If you're in the Frost Tower, I think you're pretty near
the first phase of the San
right.
Pedro Creek.
Yeah. That first phase, which is a beautiful phase. If people aren't familiar with that, I encourage them to go down and check that out. You know, it assists with flooding, but it also restores the creek to a more natural state. And it's a culture park. You know, there's art that we've worked with the county on to integrate into, you know, the phase that's complete and that's the phases that are under construction right now. So yeah, that's an example of the types of projects that we and our partners can bring to the table. Mission Reach, Museum Reach, San Pedro, the Westside Creeks program made it into the president's budget for planning and engineering purposes. Right now, it's about $2.34 million, but that's a major step to get a project like that into the president's budget, partnering with the Corps. So we're really hopeful that there's going to be opportunities to partner with, you know, the county, the city, and the Corps of Engineers, you know, this coming year, assuming it passes in the president's budget, which we think it will, to start the repair and rehabilitation and turning those four major creeks on the west side into something that looks more like what they used to. You know, for those not familiar with flood control in San Antonio, or, you know, frankly, this happened nationwide. In the 50s and 60s, the Corps of Engineers went on a very large flood control mission. And what that, in many cases, turned into was straightening, you know, rivers and creeks, channelizing them, you know, from not from the natural shape, but into a trapezoidal concrete lined channel, which you see, you know, still in our area here and a number of other places in the U.S. And then in the 80s and then the 90s, that philosophy started to change. And so that's why projects like Mission Reach and Museum Reach started to happen. People wanted a natural environment, return to that, but that also took care of the flooding issue. And I think that's what we've got the opportunity that we're looking forward to out on the west side of San Antonio to do with those creeks out there, like has been repaired and rehabilitated in other parts of the city.
Well, I'm excited just hearing about that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes, you know, these big creeks, even so on the west side, you know, it ends up looking like a ditch, right? And people think of it as like one big ditch. Whereas you go and look at the Mission Reach, for example, it looks beautiful, especially at Confluence Park where it meets, you know, where San Pedro Creek meets the San Antonio River. And it's beautiful when it looks that way.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, for those folks downtown, you can sort of see the before and after right in front of you. If you start at one end of San Pedro and go to the other, you know, you can see what the ditch, you know, because you're right, it looks like a drainage ditch in many cases. But if you go to, you know, phase one, as we mentioned, and you can see what it can become or like what the mission reach has turned into, you know, it's so vastly different. You know, I hope that the public appreciates that and will continue to support us and our partners in those types of projects and making the community one that people really truly enjoy and get out and enjoy the outside and make it, you know, a really good place to live. San Antonio, I've lived a lot of different places and I'm very excited to be here. It's one of the most welcoming cities and places that I've been, and I appreciate the amenities. I know it's a huge city, you know, 2 million people or just under 2 million people here. It doesn't feel that way. And that's something I really enjoy and like about it.
Well, people that have lived here for many, many years, including myself, who I've born and raised here in San Antonio, they'll attest to that, which is, I mean, it is statistically the seventh largest city. We're creeping on the door of being the sixth largest city, but it feels like a small town. And I think people come to appreciate that once they kind of settle in here. But, you know, I just want to encourage my listeners, and this is just kind of personal note to them, which is just appreciate what in an organization like San Antonio River Authority is doing to not only keep it safe, make it a healthy river, but just to make it enjoyable. I mean, the longer you're here, the more you explore the urban core of San Antonio, even going down to Southtown, the Mission Reach, going north at the Museum Reach. It is just so beautiful. You know, some people don't realize that. The people who, quote unquote, say that they're tourists in their own town, they go visit the Riverwalk. The Riverwalk's still fantastic, a lot of fun, very beautiful, especially around Christmas. But take a walk, take a bike ride down south. It is beautiful. You know, you come across the different missions, the different parks. I mean, even go as far south to the Hot Wells restoration down there, right on the river, right? I mean, it's just, it's awesome. I don't know if you work directly or indirectly with the Mission Outdoor Kayaking, but I will say we have taken time, my girlfriend and I, to kayak on the downtown part of the river. We want to kayak along the Mission Reach, but it was so much fun doing that. I want other people to try that out because it was a lot of fun doing that.
No, and absolutely. Like, you know, I borrowed a bike. I don't have one myself. I don't own one myself right now, but I borrowed a bike this last weekend. I rode 16 miles on Saturday and 9 on Sunday and just got out and saw neighborhoods and enjoyed the city. So it's along those same lines. Get out there and take advantage. You know, we have paddling trails that are downstream from here. And in places all the way, even down in Goliad County, you know, 2 hours south, we have paddling trails. So where we've made it that it's more accessible to people, they're put in and take out points. There's even concrete chutes, for lack of a better term, where you might go through some rapids or riffles, but you can get your kayak down on this concrete chute that's in the river itself. There's a lot out there. I would encourage people. I saw a statistic, I think, where most people, you know, really don't go outside the bubble like 5 miles from their house. And so I would encourage people, get out there past that, depending on where you live, and take advantage of it.
Exactly. Well, there are a couple questions for you, and then I'll let you plug in where we can find you. First off, for you, I ask this to every single guest. For you, it's going to be interesting because I know you're still fairly new to San Antonio. But in your opinion, in your short time here, what do you think it means to be a true San Antonian?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would say the things that maybe that I've noticed having lived a lot of places and that I've noticed about San Antonio, what makes it stand out is compared to other places that I've lived, and the culture, the appreciation for the history. I learned upon getting here, the mayor told me that San Antonio and New Orleans are sister cities founded in the same year, you know, 300 years old. You know, both cities have a great appreciation for the culture and the heritage. And I think that is a really big deal. So people might take it for granted if you kind of live in the middle of it. But as a newcomer to the city, that's something that's really stood out. I appreciate having great Mexican food and barbecue. I've been missing that. New Orleans has awesome cuisine, but it's real here. And I really enjoy having access to all that again. And having some really unique neighborhoods is something that I've been learning as I'm kind of figuring out, getting my feet under me, where do I want to live? What part of town do I want to go in? So I've been driving around, biking around, walking. I'm staying in a casita right now, fairly close to downtown. And I like having that walkability, super easy access to so many different, you know, museums. But then the fact that you can drive, you know, 30 minutes to an hour outside of town and, you know, go see caverns or go see wine country, couple hours go to the beach. There's not a lot of places where you can find that kind of variety with that many interesting things to do in such close proximity. So that's not exactly what your question was, but I think as a newcomer, maybe that was a good answer.
Yeah, and it's always interesting to talk to someone who's a little newer to San Antonio because you come in with a different perspective, especially yourself being in the military and living in different places. You offer that fresh, that new perspective in how San Antonio feels, you know. And a lot of things you said, I mean, people align with, people understand because yeah, we feel the same way, right? Going back to what we talked about earlier as far as being a big city, small town feel. It's amazing that we, you know, longtime residents feel that way, but then it also, people who just move here feel that way. So it just goes to show that it's absolutely true.
And just a friendly, extremely friendly and welcoming community, which I really appreciate. In fact, I told a number of my staff at a meeting, I said, the River Authority is the nicest place I've ever worked. It is the nicest group of people I've ever worked with. I've worked with some outstanding people in my previous jobs, but the culture and just the way people interact with each other here also stands out. I think that's a tribute to both San Antonio as a community and the River Authority in terms of the organization that's and collaboration and teamwork that's been fostered over a number of years.
In your time at the San Antonio River Authority, however long that ends up being, how do you want to be remembered?
Ooh, that is an egotistical loaded question right there. And so I'm going to say, what would I like, you know, maybe my team and the agency to be remembered for more so than me individually? You know, the fact that the team here has taken something that was a drainage ditch, if you wanted to, you know, sort of make it overly simplistic, that had a bunch of not so nice dirty water going through it and turned something into, you know, a hallmark of the city, an amazing amenity. So that's the team here. I wasn't part of that. That's something my predecessors, you know, full credit to them for that. I would like to continue that and make the, you know, continue the legacy, whether it's West Side Creeks, whether it's Salado Creek on the east side, take advantage of those places and bring the creeks and the rivers back to a more natural state with, you know, multi-purpose projects, keeping people safe from flooding, making it a nice place to live and work and recreate. That's something that I want us to continue to do. And also, I mentioned it very briefly at the beginning, but we have some amazing technical staff, experts that help us, you know, do our mission and really serve as scientific and engineering experts in those types of projects and serve as advisors to our partners. I don't think I'm going out on a limb too far to say that we collaborate extremely well with the city and the county and our downstream counties, and they turn to us to help advise them on projects when it comes to flood control, when it comes to water quality and recreational planning as well. I want us to, you know, continue that legacy, grow our own staff, hire smart, good people, and elevate the awareness of the River Authority in terms of what we bring to the table that benefits the overall community.
Well, Derek, like I mentioned, you know, I've had a great time interviewing you, speaking with you. You're fairly new to this particular organization, but you're definitely not new to the industry. We welcome you here to San Antonio. It seems like you've felt welcome so far, but it's a great community that you're in. It's a great city that you're in. I thank you in advance for the work you're going to do with that organization. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for what you guys do over there. I love the projects that have how they've turned out over the last few years, just watching my city grow and just look a lot better. Give the listeners, you know, where can we find you guys? Where can we follow you? The website, but also where can they volunteer?
Listeners can find out a whole boatload of information about us at sariverauthority.org. On there, you can find out all about our missions in terms of, you know, what we do, the parks, all the projects that we're doing, but you can also volunteer. We've got a very large group of local folks that are river warriors and that support us and our, you know, day-to-day professional staff, whether it's cleanup projects, recreational projects, you name it, but it's a really dedicated group of people that want to do their own part in helping us maintain the river. So if somebody is interested, please go to our website, saRiverAuthority.org. You can find out about floodplain mapping that you do. If you have questions about, you know, 100-year floodplains and how, you know, where you live and how safe is it, you can find out all about that there as well. You know, check us out. BearFlood.org is another, B-E-X-A-R flood.org. That's the website where you can go. It's the public-facing website to that predictive flood model that I described, where you can look and see if roads are closed or open, red or green, during a heavy rain event. There's a whole lot more that goes on behind that that we're talking to emergency folks with. But please take advantage.
Well, thank you again, Derek. Listeners, like you mentioned, you can go to saRiverAuthority.org. You can find the volunteer opportunities. You can learn all about it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I believe it's San Antonio River. You can find them at, and even check out the YouTube channel they have, the San Antonio River Authority. Put some great YouTube videos up there. I was able to check some out. Thank you again, Derek. I appreciate your time so much. It was a great conversation. Thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you, Zach. Really appreciate it. And I had a great time too.
That's going to wrap up my interview with Derek Bays and thus another episode of Searching for San Antonio. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the podcast on your preferred listening platform. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I also ask that you leave a rate and review if you haven't already. If you want to keep up with the show and our other talk show, SA Talk, please give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SA Pod Network. If you have questions about advertising or partnership opportunities, please reach out to Zachary, that's Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, at sapodnetwork.com. If you're a listener and want to support the podcast, please visit the link in bio on any social media platform and click support monthly. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the podcast, and viva San Antonio.